Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Seven international students and recent grads from the University of Chicago have had their student visas revoked. It's part of a federal crackdown where more than 300 students, without any warning, have been told they'll need to leave the country, some after participating in protests. And that comes as a shock to someone like me, who was once an international student with a visa, studying here in America. You know, you work so hard to get to that point, and to hear of it just being revoked, just like that? Wow, that's a punch to the gut. Here is UChicago student body president Elijah Jenkins talking to Fox about this.
I don't think they expect how bad it will impact our students. I don't think they expected this many students' visas be already revoked. And so this is a moment in time to see how the university is going to actually engage and possibly push against administration. So as student body president, I'm hoping that administration will be actively protecting our students first and prioritizing their needs and going through the proper due process for any visa removals to begin with.
So what could all of this mean for students and for free speech? With us to answer questions, we had Genevieve Lakier. She's a professor of American Constitutional Law at UChicago. And Jin Kim, who's a project coordinator for the President's Alliance on Higher Education and Immigration. That group is dedicated to creating a welcoming environment for immigrant, undocumented, and international students on U.S. college campuses. Jin kicked us off by explaining all the paperwork required to get a student visa in the first place.
So a student visa is a travel document issued by a U.S. consulate or embassy before an international student enters the United States. And so first and foremost, a student from another country, they would first apply to the U.S. school, and upon acceptance, they would be then receiving a couple forms and paying the SEVIS or SEVIS fee, mm-hmm. which is a database for international students used by the U.S. government. Afterwards, they fill the DS-160 form, which is an online non-immigrant visa application form. And then finally, they schedule and attend a visa interview at a U.S. embassy or consulate in their home country. During the interview, they present all of these forms. And after that, you know, they're asked different questions about what they plan to study, for how long, what kind of degree that they're pursuing. And then after that, they receive their visa and travel. But it's important to also understand that the visa itself is not a guaranteed entry into the country. After receiving the visa, they must present their documents and everything to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Officer, CBP. And then from there, they're either allowed or not allowed entry into the United States.
Right. So even though they've gotten the acceptance from the university for a particular program, mm-hmm. have gone through all of that paperwork, it's still not a guarantee when you're trying to actually cross the border into the United States.
Absolutely. And the international students that come to study in the United States, they really do go through just so much.
And they're spending lots of money, right? Roughly how much does this cost?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the SEVIS fee is over it's $350 for F1 students. And then
that initial DS-160 form, like that's...
The DS-160 form is currently $185.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, if they had an attorney help them with this, then of course it
goes
out from there.
Exactly. There's other fees. Some people go through agencies as well, which is also an additional fee. Mm-hmm. And this is also, you know, and the larger idea of, you know, international students contributing to the U.S. economy. I think it was $44 billion just in the last fiscal year. And so... Seeing that that kind of parallel is really crazy. Yeah.
So, Professor Lakier, you know, hearing all of that, the process it takes to even get this thing, mm-hmm. what are the legal grounds that Trump has here to go ahead and revoke student visas?
Well, the view of the administration, I think, is that anyone who's here on a visa, they can kick out whenever they want, that it is a privilege to be here. And so they have largely unreviewable, uncontainable discretion to do whatever they want. So far, though, what they're doing, and it is really a remarkable departure from precedent, given everything we've heard about how hard it is for students to get the visas to get here, the assumption generally is that unless something extraordinary occurs, the student is here for the entirety of the visa, unless something they do something very serious. And what has been occurring is that the administration seems to be seizing on two different bases for stopping the kicking the students out the country or trying to. One is any minor run-in with the law involving, in some cases, that where the student was not at fault. There was one case where I think a student was a victim of a crime, but their fingerprints entered the system, and on that basis, they lost their visa status. So that is incredible. Mm-hmm. And then the second is it looks like that they participated in some kind of campus activism, protest last year, or in one case, they wrote an op-ed in the student newspaper, and on that basis, they're being adjudged to be worthy of removal. Mm-hmm. And in both cases, it's really problematic, worrying, terrible, because on the one hand, if you you have a speeding ticket, all of a sudden, the Trump administration is saying, if you have any run-in with the law and you are not a U.S. citizen, we can kick you out at our discretion. And I guess another thing I would say about the these cases is that often there's no notice whatsoever. What happened at the University of Chicago is that the federal government didn't alert the university and it didn't alert the students. So no one had any idea that the student status had been altered.
How did they hear?
The university, I've been told, is doing twice daily checks of the SEVIS database to try and figure out what's going on, because it also wants to have a sense of what's happening with its students.
Yeah.
And so,
and because there's been so much coming from the White House,
yeah,
that I would understand why you're doing twice daily checks to see, well, when is it going to hit us?
And of course, if you're a foreign student, it makes you feel very vulnerable, because at any moment you don't know whether you're still in legal status or not. And if you are not and ICE wants to detain you, then they have good grounds to do so.
Right.
So the university is, I think, attempting to provide as much reassurance to its students by running these checks. But at any moment, it looks like any student status can change.
What happens, Jen, when a student's visa is revoked? Do they typically have to leave the country right away? Is there a sort of a grace period?
Yeah, absolutely. So when a student's visa is revoked, it's important to understand that they can still remain in legal status. But once their service is terminated, once their visa is revoked, it's actually very it really jeopardizes their ability to study in the United States. And so the President's Alliance has actually released a FAQ, an FAQ for international students and campus stakeholders. And, we have these different resources. Mm-hmm. But right now, things are just so volatile that it's difficult. It's very difficult to tell what can happen to these students.
What are you hearing from students at UChicago, Professor?
I mean, anyone who is not a citizen is feeling very scared, I think. And I guess I'll just say it's not just students. It's also staff and faculty are thinking about the implications of this, because although the visa removals have been focused on students, it's not only students. It's also researchers, postdocs, teachers, faculty. And so it's basically any foreigner in the country who's attached to a university and here legally knows that there is a possibility that they will that their legal status will change.
Yeah.
And so I think it is creating incredible anxiety and insecurity, and also, which I think it's intended to do. I think this is in some ways for the administration, it's a win-win, because Trump ran on a policy of mass deportation, but actually requiring people to leave through the institutions of ICE is expensive and difficult. Having major detention centers, getting ICE officers out to find people is hard. And so it looks like the administration, for now at least, is adopting a policy of self-deportation. They want to make it so difficult for foreigners to be in the U.S. that they're going to willingly leave. Mm-hmm. And so it achieves that aim, because these kinds of spectacular, without any notice, visa denials is intended to and is having the effect of creating fear and anxiety. So I think a lot of foreign students are probably rethinking whether or not they want to be here.
Right. And that's the point.
Yeah. And then second, it's attacking the universities, which are also enemy, it seems, of the Trump administration, or what the administration conceives of as its enemy. Because as Jen was suggesting, foreign students are a really important part of the business model of American universities. we give a lot to foreign students and we also get a lot. Right. Our foreign students help fund all of our major universities, both public and private. And so if foreign students are no longer welcome here, if they're no longer able to come here and no longer feel comfortable being here, it's going to be a huge challenge to universities.
Yeah, they're not just paying a lot of money for these visas, but they're paying a really, really high tuition just to study at the school. Columbia University grad student Mahmoud Khalil, we'd be remiss if we don't mention him. He was detained last month, for those who aren't familiar. This was for his role in pro-Palestinian protests. On Friday, a federal judge ruled that he can be deported. I want to play a little bit of what Secretary of State Marco Rubio and State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce had to say about international students.
If you come to this country as a student, we expect you to go to class and study and get a degree. If you come here to like vandalize a library, take over a campus and do all kinds of crazy things, you know, we're going to get rid of these people.
If you were to say everything that he was ended up doing as would be his goal upon entering the country, we would never have issued the visa. But this is not about speech. It's about actions. It's about things that were done.
We should note, Khalil originally came to the U.S. on a student visa. He's now a green card holder, married to a U.S. citizen. But Professor, what do you make of that case?
Okay, well, it's clearly about speech. Khalil, like other students, are being targeted because they engage in speech that the administration does not like. And I think the administration knows this. They are targeting him and others because they want to send the message that if you engage in pro-Palestinian activism or maybe pro-DEI activism or any speech that the administration does not like, it can and will deport you, even if you have a green card, which traditionally has been understood as basically equivalent in terms of its permanency to citizenship.
Right.
The grounds that the administration is relying upon to deport Khalil is that he engaged in conduct that was contrary to the foreign policy objectives of the United States. And it looks like what that means is that he engaged in pro-Palestinian activism. That is it. I'll just say two things about that. One is, if that logic holds, then it means that any time the federal government decides that your speech is contrary to the foreign policy interests of the United States, say you engage in, I don't know, anti-Putin speech or pro-China speech, or you say something that's good about DEI, does that make you subject to removal now because the Secretary of State decides that it's contrary to the foreign policy objectives? So this argument is not only about speech. It threatens to swallow all of the First Amendment rights of non-citizens of the United States such that no one will be free to say anything because who knows what the federal government is going to think is antagonistic to its interests. And so I think it is inconsistent with the First Amendment.
Jin?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out as well that historically ICE has not terminated a service record. In rare instances, ICE reported information to the designated school official, the DSO, and then the DSO would terminate the record, such as when a student was taken into custody by a law enforcement agency. However, recent reports indicate that ICE has now begun directly terminating service records based on protest and speech activity, prior arrests and convictions, as well as a more general individual identified in criminal records check and/or has had their visa revoked. And so this is definitely unprecedented.
Mm. Yeah. So what rights do international students have?
Yeah, I mean, international students here. Oh, yeah, please.
I was just going to say, I think it is important to remind listeners that any person in the United States enjoys First Amendment protection. Mm-hmm. The First Amendment doesn't apply just to citizens.
Exactly.
It applies to all persons, and persons are defined as anyone who's on the territory of the United States. And so Khalil and every single student who's here on a student visa has First Amendment rights. The question is, what do those First Amendment rights include? Mm-hmm. And historically, because, just as Jin was saying, the government hasn't exercised the power mm-hmm. to deport in this way, we don't fully know. There are some cases upholding the power of the Secretary of State to deport people who were communists, but the Supreme Court cases, but those
right.
cases relied upon the particular hostility to U.S. values of being a member of the Communist Party. This is during the Red Scare in
right.
the 50s when communists are the big baddies. It's never been extended beyond that. And so the Khalil case and the other cases now that are bubbling up through the courts are really raising this very important question, which is, okay, we know that foreigners have First Amendment rights, but do they have meaningful First Amendment rights? Because if they do, then this kind of logic cannot stand. Or when it comes to immigration, are the courts going to just defer to the executive and essentially create a situation where foreigners do not feel comfortable speaking in the United States because
right.
they never know when it's going to be grounds for removal? And I'll just say, as a practical matter, I think there are a lot of foreigners in the United States right now who are very afraid to speak, and it is having this profound,
absolutely.
Very real chilling effect.
So we should be clear, locally, it's not just the University of Chicago, Northwestern, U of I, other local schools. They've seen international students have their visas revoked. In a statement from University of Chicago, it said, "The university has a long history of supporting America's position as a magnet for talented people from across the globe. We'll continue to work to assist the members of our international community," end quote. Jin, what more can schools do in this environment, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the important thing is for students to be able to turn to their international student office, their DSO as well, as well as, you know, look for different organizations that are here to support them, the Presence Alliance being one. We want to equip students to support immigrant international refugee students by providing resources, best practices, webinars.
Where are those FAQs that you mentioned earlier?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Please, if you just Google the President's Alliance on Higher Education and Immigration, you can find all of our different reports, our different research,
right?
All of which are data-driven as well as with different partnerships as well.
We're just about out of time, Professor, but you mentioned several times, international students are worried right now.
Yeah.
What's your message to them?
That they should work together. They should make demands of their their university administrations. I think the administrations should not automatically disenroll students who lose their status right now. This is we've seen that this is what has been happening, and it makes the condition for these students even harder because it means that they can't do virtual schooling abroad, or they're suddenly lost their education as well as other things. So I think that is something universities can do. And second, they can talk about this.
Yeah.
It is really hard. Chilling effects means that people shut up. But I think it is important for every American to understand how profound a threat this is to the values we hold dear. The Trump administration likes to say we're kicking people out who are, who don't have our values. But what the administration is doing is very inconsistent with American values, including the very important value of freedom.
You should care about this whether or not you are an international student, right?
Correct.
Genevieve Lakier, professor of American Constitutional Law at the University of Chicago, and Jin Kim, who's project coordinator for the President's Alliance on Higher Education and Immigration. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Alyssa Manthi and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for tuning in.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely